Blog Talk Radio.
General Quarters, Security Condition 3.
GQ, Security 3, sir. General Quarters 3, intruder alert. GQ 3, intruder alert.
Good evening and welcome once again to Madame Perry's Salon. I am your host and cruise director, Madame Perry. And if you are listening live tonight, thank you. Welcome. But also, if you're listening live tonight, which is April 3rd on Blog Talk Radio, if you would, if you haven't done so before, you'll look and see a hot pink or fuchsia rectangle, and in white letters it says follow. And if you would push that button to follow, I would certainly appreciate it. And you would know ahead of time all the cool, groovy, and fascinating lineup of guests I have coming soon, so you won't miss anything live. But of course, everything is available after the live show to download at no cost to you here on Blog Talk Radio, Apple iTunes, Stitcher, Podcast FM, Blueberry, and probably some places I don't even know about that are making money off of me that I'm not. But anyway, we're happy to have you here. Hey, you know what? Recently, we had Ricky Bird on, and if you remember Ricky Bird, actually he did two shows with us, but Ricky Bird, he's a guitarist, and he was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame when he was in the band Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, but he's worked with a lot of other people too, Ian Hunter, and God knows, I can't remember who else at the moment, but you know, he launched a CD at the end of last year called Clean Getaway, and with the exception of the song Kicks, they're all original tunes. And if he told us then, and of course he even gave us one to give away, that if you sent in $25 to his management, Chaos Production, you would get the CD autographed, a pic, an autographed photo, but even more than that, it enabled him to continue to go to places where people are trying to work out their issues with substance abuse, people who are in recovery, and perform for them, because that's how Ricky did this. You know, he was an alcoholic and I believe heroin addict, but he was talking about once he worked through it, now he's trying to help other people and visit. So he sent a message last week that thanks to all the people that have been buying it, he's been able to go to, I think, 100 centers, and he always puts up sometimes messages from people, and even on the website, about what his visit and the music has meant to them. So, you know, continue to check out Ricky Bird if you haven't already, and the CD is great. There's not a clunker on it, believe me, and you've got a, and plus your money's going even further. And let's see, coming up soon, we've got Kat Canavos, who, you know, she was on, you might have seen her on Dr. Oz, and she's been on here before. She has a book about dreams and how dreams keep you from, or you can diagnose your health problems through dreams. And she has another book on that. That's what she did. And, of course, last week we had the lovable Paul Myers, who is a musician, a TV radio host, and he was talking about his books, The Wizard of True Star, about Todd Rundgren in the studio, which pretty much follows all of his studio work, Bare Naked Ladies, Public Stunts, Private Lives, It Ain't Easy, Long John Baldry, and The Birth of the British Blues. And he's got a new book coming out. He says we can reorder it. Please do. I mean, you can pre-order it. It's called One Dumb Guy, and it's the story of the comedy group The Kids in the Hall. And speaking of comedy, and this guy, I think he is a friend of Paul Myers. My guest tonight is writer and riffer. how's that? You know him as a writer for MST3K. If I have to spell that out, what that means to you, you're listening to the wrong show. And in Atlanta, thank God he's here giving us movie riffings on Cineprof. And I'm not going to just keep on going. I'm going to say, welcome here to the genie bottle that is Madame Perry Salon, Larry Johnson. Come on,
hey,
sit down, get cozy.
Thanks for having me. I feel like I'm your least accomplished guest in forever.
What?
I'm excited. I'm your least accomplished guest ever, it sounds like, based on that interview.
Yeah. I mean, what is it? No kidding. No, you're wrong. That is very wrong. Ixnay on the eightmanth day, okay? So we... I'm thrilled to have you here. You know, I was looking at, and I put this on, Instagram a few minutes ago, in Oz Magazine, which in Georgia is a magazine about the film and TV industry. There was a great feature on you in January by Isadora Pennington, calls you Atlanta's Satellite of Love. Now, that's quite a moniker.
Yeah.
I like that.
I know. There's not much to live up to there, right?
So you know, we're going to talk about how you got it with the MST3K guys and also in that project, as well as doing Cineprof here. And so let's just start there. Where do you come from, Larry Johnson, to be such a funny man and make us laugh so much? Where did you grow up? What were your influences? Was your family funny?
Sure. I was born and raised in Philadelphia, where you need to have a sense of humor and be sarcastic to survive, especially the winters. You have to survive that. I grew up watching Mystery Science Theater 3000, and I remember seeing glimpses of it when I was a kid and didn't really know what it was. And then when I was a little bit older and my friends and I would come home drunk after going out, we would it would always be on, it seemed. So it just sort of became like the cold pizza and watching MST3K whenever we would get back to my friend's house, to the rooms that always spun, which was the bedroom I stayed in at his place all the time. And and then when I moved here to Atlanta, just didn't really know a lot of people, so took some improv classes and started a theater here in Atlanta, the Basement Theater, with a couple of other folks. And I guess when we started, we were pretty ambitious that we scheduled like two shows Friday and two shows Saturday with no real budget or any way to kind of let people know we were there and out in Buckhead. we would sort of just show up and hope that an audience would show up. And on a lot of nights, nobody did, so we would just sit and play Uno and pray that someone would come to the 10 o'clock show. And one night, just like for rehearsals, I was wearing a Mystery Science Theater 3000 shirt. One of the guys was just like, we should just do that. And that way, at least if no one shows up, we can just sit and watch a stupid movie instead of playing cards. And that's kind of how Cineprof was born. It was just born out of not wanting to sit and play Uno if no audience showed up. God, that was like 2005, I want to say, actually. And the show's gone through a bunch of incarnations with a bunch of different people. It was, like I said, it was completely improvised when we first started, where we didn't watch the movie at all. And we would just, kind of wing it, which seemed like a really good idea until the Last of the Mohicans incident, as we like to refer to it, where we thought it would be a fun idea for our Thanksgiving show to make fun of Last of the Mohicans without watching it. And then when you put it in and then you realize it's like 3.5 hours long and there's about 8 lines of dialogue in it, it makes for just a really, really sad and angry show. I just the movie just kind of beat us down for 3 hours. So since then we've gotten away from the improvising and actually prepare the shows now, that since we kind of back in, I guess, God, 2013, early 2013, the Plaza Theater here in Atlanta, which is like for those of you that don't live here, it's a great independently owned theater that shows, it's the Rocky Horror Theater of Atlanta. It's where they show Rocky and The Room and all kinds of cool stuff. And they welcomed us back in 2013. So we kind of felt like we needed to prepare the shows, which, you know, up until that point, we really hadn't been doing. So we felt like we owed it to the audience to at least watch the movie a couple times and kind of, you know, prepare some jokes instead of just completely improvising it. So in retrospect,
I think I understand.
Prom,
I'm sure that...
Yeah, the name mm-hmm. doesn't really work anymore because it's we're thinking about putting a straight line over the O and making it Cineprove at this point because we're improving the bad movies. So we're not sure if that's going to catch on or not. But yeah, we try to steer away from the improv moniker of it.
Because I imagine if it was totally improv, wouldn't that you've really got to trust each other, you know, the people with whom you're cineproving or improving, to know who's going to go where, when. You've got to know each other's, I guess, sense of humor is or your style, and that sounds like just walking. I'll tell you what it's like. It's like it sounds like to me when I first started with my jazz band, and there were times when I would have these musicians that would just go way out on their souls and everything, and then I'm trying to keep up in my little head of counting and when to come back and how far out they were going, especially if I was a guest vocalist in a band somewhere. And the band's fighting behind me, you know, again, you too long on that solo, you shut up, you know, and I'm supposed to listen to all this and know when to come back. And I always said, you know, it felt to me like I was on a cartoon character that when they run off the cliff, they keep on running until they realize that they're off the cliff. That's when they fall. So I thought, you can't look down, you got to keep going. So
it was very much like that.
Way.
Yeah, I mean, the troupe, you know, you get to know each other and you get a sense of everyone's kind of like their beats. You know, it is sort of like music. But I mean, there was, you know, it was also messy. You know, we would talk over each other, and you know, and even still now, to a lesser degree, now that we kind of write the show, but still, it's the danger of a live show. You know, it kind of adds to the, you know, it's not perfect. It's never going to be perfect. But that's kind of fun, you know. It's we prefer the imperfections of it. We don't want it to be perfect. That's why we don't really record stuff and do overdubs and all that. You know, we'd rather just kind of put it out there and you know, see where the wind takes us, as it were, with the show.
Tell me about it. There's a cool story where you were at Dragon Con. I believe it was in 2008.
Yeah, that was
when
where
you met Joel Hodgson.
Yeah, that was the first time I met Joel Hodgson. I went to the whole cast of MST was there. They were doing Cinematic Titanic at the time and promoting that. That was like a touring show that they did. And, you know, so I went down to Dragon Con wearing a Cineprov shirt to promote our show, needless to say. And, you know, standing in line, because I was still just a complete fanboy at the time. You know, that was, at that time we were getting like tens of people out to a show and stuff. So, you know, I was complete fanboy, just waiting to get stuff signed. And Joel was the last one in line, and I was like getting something signed by one of the other guys, Trace or somebody. And I hear Joel's voice like, "Hey, are you the Cineprov guy?" I was like blown away that he knew we existed. He's like, "I love your logo," which made me really happy. Like, designed the logo. But yeah, so I mean, that's crazy that, you know, at the time Joel Hodgson knows that we exist, because, you know, we didn't know at the time either, like,
yeah,
you know, how they felt about like other people riffing on movies, you know, if they thought it was, you know, like we're just ripping them off or whatever. But they were, you know, he was always very supportive, and which was awesome. And then, you know, fast forward a few years later, after we got into the plaza, Joel was touring a one-man show called Riffing Myself, which was basically it was like an oral history of Mystery Science Theater 3000. And I just emailed him and was like, "Hey, why don't you, you know, come to Atlanta and do the show at the Plaza, and then, you know, do the show, your show one night, and then riff a movie with us the next night." And he was down, he was on board. He was down with the idea. And that was sort of the history-changing night for Cineprov, basically, because we riffed Star Trek IV, the one with the whales, and it was awesome. Joel Hodgson said I was a born movie riffer, which is still the greatest compliment I've ever had, quite possibly.
Man, that's a moment when all the stars are aligned in just the right way. I mean, you just, that's it. That's all there is to it. How fantastic.
Yeah,
I mean, I just can't imagine how that would feel.
Yeah, funny story about that, too, is like Joel was actually worried about as being as improvised as it was, which was really funny to all of us because, you know, the guy who invented the medium was like, we should watch it a couple of times, or at least once, and, you know, just sort of prepare. And we're like, okay, that was just weird to us at the time. We're like, all right, we'll prepare. And which was also, it was kind of a, we kind of tricked the audience a little bit because we told everybody it was going to be a mystery Star Trek movie where the audience is going to pick the movie that we do, which was originally the plan. But then when Joel wanted to actually watch one in advance, we kind of knew that we had to know which one we were doing. And so we did the old magician trick where you take a hat and a bunch of pieces of paper and you ask the audience, all right, which one? Somebody yells out Wrath of Khan and you write Star Trek IV on the piece of paper and put it in the hat. The first one, you write Star Trek IV on the piece of paper and put it in the hat. So the hat is full with nine pieces of paper that say Star Trek IV, and then you let an audience member pick one out of the hat, and lo and behold, it's the one that we wanted to do. So, so we kind of tricked everybody with that a little bit, but it was a great night, and you know, nobody seemed to mind because that's a really good one to make fun of if you're going to make fun of the Star Trek movie.
Well, I think we've just peeked behind the curtain a little bit. But it
we
won't
did.
Ruin the magic, I promise. So, well, that's fantastic. So then I love how this is like, this is where, you know, you're being led to your destiny, young man. And there
right.
you were, and Joel and the whole thing. And so you talk to Joel. So he comes to Atlanta and does this. I mean, I think it's got to be feel cool that you call, that you ask him, and he goes, you know, sure.
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, he was touring the show, so he could have just come and done his one-man show, and that would have been great too. But yeah, him being open to riffing with, you know, a bunch of young fledgling riffers like ourselves, and he also did the same thing in Austin too. I think he performed with, there's a group in Austin called Master Pancake Theater. They're awesome. One of those guys I think actually wrote on the season 11 as well. And he went and performed with those guys too. So he's cool with the idea of other people doing it, which is great. And he hired a bunch of like rippers around the country and in Canada to work on season 11 as well. So it was cool to see other folks like in the same position as me getting hired for the show, which was the next dream come true, basically. How that came about? How that came about. It was also in a pretty easy thing that how it came about. The Kickstarter happened for MST and raised like $6 million to produce the show. And I basically just sent him an email after they raised the money, you know, congratulating him on making it happen and, you know, getting the show. And I was just like, hey, and I will kick myself for the rest of my life if I don't tell you that I want to be involved in any way possible. You know, whatever you need, I want to be available, and you know, I will regret it my whole life if I don't at least just tell you that. And he responded, you know, yeah, we had you on the list of people to call when we were doing this. So, you know, I guess.
Oh, please.
Exactly. And so, you know, because again, I mean, the season 11 writing crew was, you know, it was obviously the cast and stuff, and then some fancy people, like I think Seinfeld wrote a little bit and Joel McHale. And then, like I said, a bunch of other people who just, you know, riff live shows around the country. So, you know, it kind of makes sense to hire people that do it. And I've been doing this since 2005. So I've riffed a lot of movies in my day.
How exciting. It's like, no, we already had a seat for you here at the cool table in the lunchroom. No, you've already got a chair.
Exactly. And we're going to pay you. Like, really? Okay, cool. Even better. But, well, I'm just happy to have an IMDb credit now. And, you know, a picture from the credits of the show. It's pretty awesome.
Now,
and it certainly also helped the credibility. Oh, I'm sorry. It also helped the credibility of Skinnerprov, obviously, to you know, have that backing and stuff.
Yeah.
You were asking about the
cred. Cred is nine. I was going to say cred is 9/10 of the law in this business, in show business. You know.
It really is. Yeah, it's like just yelling. Yell it loud enough, and it's true. Eventually, sort of like that.
Because I can think of playing with places where it was like maybe a well-known, a prestigious gig as far as the club, but you couldn't get your best players because nobody liked the way that the management treated you. But then maybe at a bookstore, you could get those people because they would treated you better. But people would go, oh, you're gigging in a bookstore. How nice for you. Or then they would go,
right.
Oh, you're playing at so-and-so. Oh, you must be good, you know, so. Yeah. It's a little
crazy. It just makes
way.
The audience more. Yeah, it makes for a more open-minded audience, too. You know, like they're going to give you the benefit of the doubt until you're terrible. You know, so as long as the shows aren't terrible, then they'll come out and try it once, and as long as they have a good time, then they'll come back. So that's kind of awesome to have that. You know, the entree to an audience instead of completely prying them to come to a show.
Well, let me ask you this then. Now, how did you get to how did you pull together your group for Skinnerprov? How many people did you go through, or did you audition, or just people that you just fit with?
Yeah, there's been a bunch of people over the years. Some leave on their own, some we've decided not to play with anymore. The current group is awesome. We decided a little over a year ago, I guess, to just do auditions because we really wanted some more people that would be more into the idea of promoting the show and, spending time. And then Candace Wislowski, who runs Rocky Horror and lives down on Dixie here at the Plaza, she expressed an interest, and she knows everybody in the world. So she's hysterically funny. So we just basically invited her to join the troupe, and then did auditions. Basically put on Facebook, hey, we're looking for people that want to do it, because everyone's like, oh, I'm funny watching a movie, blah, blah, blah. But it's more involved than just like sitting on your couch, heckling a movie. We just did that. We sent out, notice and just, basically like, hey, tell me why you want to be in the troupe. What are you bringing? And sent them a link to a really terrible movie on YouTube called Snow Beast. And said, prepare, and you'll get 20 minutes. Plaza was nice enough to let us set up during the day when they didn't have anything going on, and we just auditioned like 15 people, and picked the four that we like: Evan Brandon Isio and Christine Fitzgerald and Nick Hoffman and Holly Loy, who started the show with me, came back for a while, and so now she's left again. But there's the five of us now: myself, Candace, Nick, Evan, and Christine. And we rotate three people in a show, so we just rotate the shows on any given month. I'm in every show, but everyone else rotates.
And why not? Somebody's got to be the guiding light here, okay? Somebody's got to be the anchor that they all. Yeah.
I mean, we're putting in the ads if we're putting in the ads and stuff, featuring a writer from MST3K, we figured I better be there. So, seems like a natural.
So, by the way, stop right here for you. If you're listening live and you want to call in and talk to Larry Johnson, the number is 646-716-9922. That is 646-716-9922. Blog Talk Radio assures me it's a toll-free number in the continental U.S. So just give us a ring here. All right. So now tell us about Skinnerprov. How often do you do it? What can crowds expect? And what have you got coming up? You've got something coming up this Saturday night, actually, don't you?
We do. We have a very special Saturday show. Our shows are normally the first Thursday of every month at 7:30, but due to a scheduling issue, we had to move our April show to a Saturday, which is awesome. We're thrilled to do a Saturday at 9:30, So it's a little bit later. You can get a little tipsier before the show. There's a full bar at the Plaza. There's plenty of good restaurants nearby. So, you know, make an evening of it, date night, grab some friends. The movie is just god-awfully silly. It's Prisoners of the Lost Universe with Richard Hash, pre-dead and post-Battlestar Galactica. I'm not sure actually when, if it's pre or post-Battlestar Galactica, but his hair is fantastic, regardless of when it is. And John Saxon, who is in tons of terrible movies like this, is in it, and midgets and giants and aliens and silly dialogue and everything you could possibly want in a Santa Claus movie. And if you buy a koozie, you get a free popcorn. So there's that. How about that for
right?
a deal, people? That is right. Yeah,
you
buy a Santa Claus koozie
kind of
for $5, you get a popcorn. You know, yeah, and buying the koozie is actually cheaper than popcorn. So you may as well buy a koozie.
Well, and it's actually... Well, I was going to say, because most movies you go, you know, when you go, I don't get to the theaters very often, but when you get there and you go to just get a Coke and popcorn, you feel like, you know, you think about you should have gone ahead and taken out a loan before you came, or those things you get in the mail about getting the new credit card. You know, I should have saved
right.
it instead of shredded it. But no.
Exactly. But yeah, no, the Plaza prices are better than AMC prices and Regal prices for sure. And the deal of a koozie. Everyone loves a koozie, right?
Everybody. So that everyone can use. Okay, so so can you, what would you want people to know? What's the process you go through when you start putting things together on a show? What do you look for in a movie? Does it have to be, because the process, okay, tell us about, I mean, I know, but tell the people who might not have seen the very beginnings of MST3K and what the premise was about the scientist and their experiment and project that they were doing with the guy they shot off into space.
Sure. The premise of Mystery Science Theater 3000 is that Gizmonics Institute, which is a science institute that never really has explained what they do, the mad scientist took a disliking to Joel Hodgson, who was like a janitor, and shot him into space and forcing him to watch bad movies to monitor his mind. That's sort of the long and short of it. So essentially it's Joel who built some robots that he could pal around with and make sarcastic, snarky, funny comments at really bad movies. MST3K did a lot of like Godzilla movies and Ed Wood movies. Things like that, Gamera, and stuff like that. Our show doesn't have the cool premise necessarily. We don't have puppets or robots or anything. It's just the three comedians making fun of bad movies, and you know, it's just snarky, hysterically funny comments. And the good thing is we're doing public domain movies last year, like Devil Dog, Hound of Hell, and Boy in the Plastic Bubble, and Bailout with David Hasselhoff and Linda Blair, movies that nobody's ever heard of, essentially. The audiences have grown to the point where we can actually finally get bigger and better cheesy movies for you guys, so we want to thank everyone who's been out to shows. We're able to basically raise our cheese game. So we have movies like a 1990s version of Captain America coming up, and Masters of the Universe with Dolph Lundgren, and July 5th technically movie is Rocky IV, also with Dolph Lundgren. Now that I look at the schedule, there's a lot of Dolph Lundgren movies coming up. But Rocky IV, what says America more than Rocky IV? And then like August, we're doing Troll 2, which had a documentary about it. It's one of the best worst movies ever made. It's just so, so ridiculous and perfect for us. So it's cool that we're able to get quote unquote better movies now too, thanks to you guys, the audience, which is cool.
I think that your commitment to quality is shown when you said we're upping our cheese game for you.
Yeah, I mean, we're upping it to things like Masters of the Universe, which if you've ever seen it, is just so ridiculous, and Frank Langella in a skeleton mask and Dolph Lundgren and barely dressed. It's magnificent and perfect for us. It's, you know, the more serious a movie takes itself and just fails is what's perfect for us, basically. If it's, you know, if it's a comedy on its own, it doesn't really work for us because it's just like, it's either funny on its own or we're just like, well, that's just not funny. You know, it doesn't really add anything. So the more earnest a movie is, the better it is. You know, I always say it's like we riff with love because I can't make a movie. I respect the hell out of everybody who can actually make a movie, whether they succeed at it or not is a different story. But, you know, they made a movie and got it released. So I do respect the hell out of that for the people. But I will also make fun of it with love.
Of course. Yeah. And just think how much that extends the life of that film.
Yeah, a few months ago we made fun of a movie called Stragglers that was actually locally produced here. And producers came out, the director came out to the show. Some of the cast, you know, everybody knew, you know, that we rip with love and they were, you know, they know they made a bad movie, but they made a movie. So, you know, God bless. They were able to do it and, you know, they worked weekends and nights and put a lot of work into it. And then we made fun of it into their faces, which was kind of awesome.
But
that being said, more people saw Stragglers. Yeah. More people saw Stragglers than probably ever in a movie theater. So there's that.
What is your favorite genre of movie to riff?
I love rubber monster movies, like, you know, Japanese rubber monster movies, because they're just so silly. Really, any monster movie, I think is great. But especially the Japanese ones or Korean, they're just so. They try so hard and just fail so epically usually. But that being said, my favorite movie ever to riff is Showgirls. So, you know, it doesn't really fit the mold, but it's also perfect for us.
Yeah. So you are throwing me away. I never expected that would be that Showgirls.
I know. Right? Yeah. It's so, cause it tries so hard to be earnest and serious and just fails on just every level. And that's what's perfect, because there's gaps in dialogue and the dialogue is stupid and bad for the most part. And the dancing is just aggressive and distasteful. But yeah, it's great. And better than last
weekend. No more Last of the Mohicans. Now,
no.
Who chooses the movie?
Pretty much me. We were doing public domain movies. There's like a list online that you can just find public domain movies. And so we were trying to find things that we thought people would kind of like, or people, you know, things that had actors in it that people would knew. Of at least like Boy in the Plastic Bubble with John Travolta is actually a public domain movie, so it didn't cost anything for us to make fun of, and people have kind of heard of it, or they've certainly heard of John Travolta. And now there's a licensing company that has a giant list of movies that we can pick from. So, we try to, whenever possible, we'll try to do like a theme. Like I said, Rocky IV is our July 4th movie. And then, you know, we'll probably do something, one of the Halloween movies are for October, and I think Die Hard might be our Christmas movie this year, because that's a Christmas movie, right? And Roadhouse, because we're doing a very Swayze Christmas. That's what it was. Yeah, we're doing Roadhouse in December. What says Christmas more than that? And then we do an annual Ruining Childhood Memories Christmas show too, where we'll riff things like Rudolph and Charlie Brown Christmas and stuff like that, which is always a crowd pleaser every year.
Now, do you ever have times when the other writers just come to you? And I believe that's, who is it now? It's Lowry, and who else is on? Who will be with you this Saturday night?
This Saturday night is going to be Christine Fitzgerald and Evan Brandonisio. They're doing tonight's show, and then Nick Hoffman and Candace will do Captain America in May with me.
Okay, so did they ever come to you with something and just say, the other writers just say, look, we really want to do this and have something prepared, you know, and something that you don't think would work, but they're really committed to it? Have they done that?
Oh, sure.
And if so, what happens then?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's the good thing is, you know, we're not recording anything, so if it fails miserably, the only ones who know is the ones who were there. So, but more often than not, I can't really think of anything that was like, you know, hey, we should do this that really, really bombed. Years ago, things did, but not really anymore. We used to, before the show, we never really could figure out how to like open the show, because we used to do the show in much smaller theaters, we were always just sort of hanging around, and then it was like, you know, we would take like two steps and we're on stage, you know, so it was like, it was always a very weird open. So there was a period where we were doing like sort of an improvised pitch meeting where, you know, like one of us would pitch the movie that we're making fun of and like sort of just to illustrate like how ridiculous and how did this movie get made. But, you know, like a lot of improv, a lot of times those scenes would just kind of fail and sputter, and then it just set a bad tone for the whole evening. So we kind of got away from that. We currently actually have local stand-ups coming in before the show and doing like 10 minutes just to kind of warm the crowd up. And also we have a pre-recorded open that we found and put together that's kind of magnificent. So if you come to a show, definitely get there early enough to see the open, because it has a Shyamalanian twist that you won't believe, and it's a hoot. And so that the tone of the show is set with that from moving now.
So. Okay. So, and again, if you're listening live and you want to talk to Larry Johnson, just the number is 646-716-9922. And yeah, I would imagine. Oh, but let me get this out too first. The show is normal this weekend. This weekend is going to be on Saturday, April 7th, at the Plaza Theater in Atlanta.
Correct.
But normally it's the first Thursday of every month.
Yep, normally 7:30 show, but this Saturday 9:30. So sleep in.
9:30 this Saturday.
9:30, yes.
Okay, what time are the doors open?
Doors will open around 9. So you come out, watch some we show some trailers of silly things and trivia and stuff like that, and then the comic will go on probably around 9:20, and then us, then the feature presentation, Prisoners of the Lost Universe.
And here's your feature presentation.
Yeah.
Do you encourage people to get there when the doors open to start drinking before the feature presentation?
I always encourage drinking. Yeah, we always encourage more drinking before the show. You can't go wrong with the
because
with the
they'll be more relaxed. Yeah, it won't be self-conscious.
Exactly. Yep. And our audience tends to drink, so if you're not drinking, you're going to feel like an outcast if you're new. So we are the comedy show, with the audience that drinks, as we're commonly referred to around here.
We don't want them to feel that way.
No, we want them.
This is an inclusive show.
Exactly. Oh, it's totally inclusive. Okay. No doubt. Even sober people can come. It's fine.
And laugh for the drunk people next to you if you want. So about, and this does sound like a good thing for a day, especially somebody's got a first date and they're a little awkward about talking. Or I would go so far as to guess that maybe it's also if you've been married a long time and you don't want to talk to each other. That would also be a good thing to go out and do too if you're supposed to be having couples time.
Exactly. Yeah, and I mean, supporting live comedy.
Yeah.
And it supports live comedy. I mean, you can wait till Netflix to watch Ready Player One. I mean, when's the next time you're going to be able to see Prisoners of the Lost Universe? That's the real question. And if you are like the straw, if you are the straw that stirs the drink in your group of friends, if you bring four people, you get in free. So bring a crowd.
Ooh.
I know.
Okay. All right. That's.
We are a value.
You held out on that.
I did.
Out.
It was a spoiler. I know. I was a little teased.
Okay. So if you bring four people.
Yep. You get
including
in
free. You?
Get in four
free.
Others.
Sweet
so, yeah.
deal. All right. Four others.
So,
okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. So group of five. One gets in free.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gang of five right, so. And you're in. Okay.
Right. This is like, so we're going on one or are we going on go? It's 3, 2, 1. Oh, go. Just turned into that.
So, that's cool. So, okay. So now we know that there is, if you buy a koozie, you get free popcorn. If you bring
yep.
four people besides it's, yourself and they all pay, you get in free.
Yep.
And
free hugs,
you have,
free hugs from the cast. Too.
Get out.
Yeah, free hugs.
That's
whole
so
cast,
sweet.
Even the ones not in the show. Even if they're not in the show, they'll hug you.
So, then let me ask this. Somebody else is sending me a message here, and they're saying that, sorry, I would call in, but I'm listening. I'm just enjoying listening. Okay, well, thank you.
Okay.
And that's Danny Bueno. Do you have, I'm sure you do, social media or website where people can find out what's coming up next?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, cineprov.com is our website. We have a Facebook page. If you could like our Facebook page, that would be awesome. I'm on Facebook, so just Larry Johnson, which is, yeah, possibly one of the most common names ever, but make an effort. Find me on Facebook. And Twitter, we're at Cineprov. It's all at Cineprov, or if you just search Cineprov, you can find us everywhere. We're pretty much on every social
media. And you're also on Twitter, and you're also on Instagram,
yeah. And, Snapchat, we don't understand yet. I don't understand Snapchat, so.
I don't either. I think that's for the kids. So,
yeah.
Okay, and hi to Mimi and Dana in Asheville, North Carolina. So they're listening and enjoying the show. And they want to know, why don't you come to Asheville, North Carolina? Or would you?
We would, yeah. We're giant whores. If enough people want to show up and have us, we'll go almost anywhere. No, I mean, we're, you know, if there was a compelling reason to go, we would go. We'll show up anywhere and riff for crowds.
Okay, and let's see. And
why don't they come
Jules
to Atlanta?
Period.
Why don't they come to Atlanta and see our show?
Hey,
you know?
That's right. I've invited these
you know,
people.
We're already here, you know. So.
Stay back there.
Yeah, they can they can crash at our place and buy us beers. That's fine.
Oh, yeah, see?
See?
Come on down to Atlanta first. Then we'll see if there's a little reciprocity involved. How about that?
Exactly.
What about, do people sometimes, have they ever dressed up? Like you said, they have puppets on the MST3K movie. But Cineprov, you don't have puppets. You have the people, the live human riffers. Do people ever come in any kind of a costume?
Yeah. We
special to the film or to the TV.
Yeah, they do. We did Devil Dog Hound of Hell, and two guys that are apparently furries showed up because there were two people dressed head to tail in dog costumes, which was kind of awesome. We don't discourage.
Start all over again. I don't think I caught all of this. Start from the beginning of that.
Okay, Devil Dog Hound of Hell, which is a movie. That's the name of the film. Richard Crenna is in it, and it's about a possessed German Shepherd. It's a 70s TV movie. So two folks that apparently are furries came dressed in dog costumes, just full and like wore the heads the whole show, which is super hot, I would imagine, to sit there in that. For the whole show, but that was awesome. Zardoz we did, which is, if you're not familiar with, I would urge you to Google it immediately, and see Sean Connery in basically a red diaper. Some folks showed up dressed in costume for that, which was also kind of awesome. Yeah, we're hoping that someone comes dressed as Captain America. Somebody came as Wolverine when we did Wolverine a couple years ago. Full Wolverine costume, which was also amazing. We're holding out hope for Dolph Lundgren costumes for Masters of the Universe. But yeah, I mean, it's a fun night. You know, it's fun. Whatever you want to do, we're up for people having fun and just enjoying the show. You want, if you have a cool Captain America costume you want to show off, we're the place to do it.
Hey, listen, I'm all about that. Cause, you know, back in the first weekend of May, I was invited to Wild Wild West Con to do a presentation about podcasts at the Wild Wild West Steampunk Convention. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. So you're trapping
I
out.
Love people with costumes.
Yeah. What's not to love, right? And we, you know,
also,
with Rocky Horror being there, there's 8 zillion costumes behind the stage that we can dress up in. So.
No. Okay. Oh, we got a message coming in from Jules Perry. No relation, but she says, Groovy, I'm listening on my iMac to this. And she says, yeah, I hear Asheville is lovely. Come. Well, Jules, you know people in Atlanta. I know you do. So come here first. Then we'll take
send
it on
them our
road.
Way.
We're going to get us a tour bus, like a country western star, a big tour bus, and take it on the road. Cineprop
yeah.
across the side of it.
And my wife and I are opening a food truck soon, so maybe we'll just bring that with us and serve some food while we're there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Even better.
Yeah.
That's even
Little Bites.
Better.
If you're in Atlanta, like yeah. Little Bites Food Truck. I know, right? We're feeding people. We're giving them
yeah.
selling them koozies.
Yeah, yeah, Jules just added in, yes, Atlanta is obviously a great location for this. But, yeah, don't worry, Jules. We'll get them on the road. And I'm putting here on Facebook under where I've posted that you're on here, the picture from Devil Dog, the film.
Yeah.
Just because I had to. So,
yeah.
I like the costumes. Yeah. You know, you do the – that's what I like about the steampunk. Yeah, there's so much creativity, and people these
oh, yeah.
days of all ages, and it's such a diverse crowd that will come in some kind of costume that they have worked on, and it always tends to be a very warm and welcoming crowd. People in costumes usually aren't a snobby crowd; they're usually pretty fun.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, if you're wearing a costume, how can you be mad at somebody wearing a Captain America costume or something? That's the way I look at it.
Not at all. And there is no shame, and there is no body shaming. There's no costume shaming at all. It's all about love. And back to Satellite of Love. So before, we've got a few minutes left, and I can't tell you, Larry, I am so grateful to you for being so generous tonight and giving us so much time and being my guest. So, okay, I'm getting another message from Jewel. She says, hey, geeks just want love.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm actually going to level with you. I'm a little bummed out that nobody's called in to at least give me a Baba Booey. I mean, on a live podcast,
you know,
expect
what?
To be Baba Booey'd.
I am too. I know people sometimes they say, oh, well, look, I'm just listening and having a good time. But yeah, I'm a little
That's
bummed awesome. Out that nobody has called. You know, yeah.
Do you get a lot
sure.
of Baba Booeys when since it's a live podcast? Is there a lot of Baba Booeying or no?
What do you mean by Baba Booeying? I mean, I have people
oh, you
call
know, oh,
in and say things. You know,
it's a Howard Stern thing. That, people.
I figured that, but I still didn't really quite know what
yeah.
it means. I mean,
Gary,
okay.
his producer is Baba Booey, and a lot of times, like, they'll just people call into shows and stuff, and just Baba Booey, Howard Stern. And so it's kind of hoping to be Baba Booey, is all I'm saying.
God, I'm so sorry that you feel after all this time. I know I've let you down.
No, it's still good. I'm just.
But you know, if you had a publicist, and I'm not saying this just because I am an entertainment publicist, but your publicist should have already had the shill set up for that. I'm just saying.
That's true. I should have had my wife probably or something. Or somebody from the troupe could have called in, maybe. Hopefully they're listening.
Get that woman on the phone. Get your wife on the phone.
Exactly.
Before I want a hot dog.
Yell at the
she,
troupe
does
for
she
not calling
to all
in.
The shows? Yeah,
yeah, she does. she's there. You can, she'll hug you too if you come to a show.
Okay, good.
Okay. Yeah. We're a huggy group, as a group.
So if I can, get a Baba Booey, let's see, even Colin Kelly, who's the editor of Atlanta In Town, is sending me a question mark. What?
if somebody Baba Booey's our Cineprov page and they're in Atlanta, I will comp them to our show on Saturday. The first local person
okay.
who Baba Booey's the Cineprov page gets in for free. How's that? That'll make me feel better.
Okay. All right. This is what I'm saying here, folks. If you want comp tickets to Cineprov this Saturday night, you're local in Atlanta because you got to be able to use them, then this is what you got to do. Call in a Baba Booey. Don't leave us hanging here. We've got... You know, I've got 9 more minutes reserved. You know, I can just talk to Larry and then ask him what's going to be on the menu when him and his wife have a food truck. You know, we can just keep on going by ourselves. But and I'm already planning to come Saturday night. So just.
Oh, are you? Oh, awesome.
Saying. Oh,
nice.
Definitely. Yeah.
Very
and,
cool.
And yeah, bring my husband, and I think we'll. It'll be a good time. Not that he's a long-time husband I don't want to talk to. People tell us that we laugh too much to be married, so I don't know.
That's the key to
okay,
happy marriage.
Who's out
just,
there?
Just being stupid together.
Yeah, have a good sense of humor and separate bathrooms,
yep.
And there you go.
Exactly.
Let me see. Okay, so who wants free tickets to Cineprov Saturday? Just... Call in a Baba Booey. That's it. That's all you got to do. And, so if you call in right now, call in and say Baba Booey to Larry Johnson, you get a free ticket to Cineprov this Saturday night.
Only...
And guess what? What?
That sounds like we're running a pledge drive now. If you call in right now and pledge $5, you get this shirt.
Hey, it works for other people. All right, and we
it
do
does.
Have a caller on the line, and Dang. It is an Atlanta exchange. And welcome to Madame Perry Salon. And I believe this is the infamous author, poet, and editor of In Town Atlanta, Colin Kelly.
Baba Booey.
Nice. There it is.
Oh!
You get in for free.
Yay! Hey, guys.
Awesome, right? Hey, thank you. Thank you for Baba Booying me. I
hey,
feel like
no
I've
problem.
Now I've now made it. I've been Baba Booied.
You've
My
been
pleasure.
Baba Booied by the media tonight.
Oh, that's
right.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank
that's
you
right.
for that.
Oh, thank you,
awesome.
Colin. Colin, I can always count on you. So,
well, you can
Colin,
count on me half the
say,
time anyway. I mean, you know.
You can, so,
I'm good
so, Colin,
half,
can you go Saturday night?
I think I can, yes.
Cool.
Okay.
I'll leave your name
you just
at the
get
door.
A date.
I'm going to work
Kelly.
On that. Too.
Okay. I've never seen you have trouble getting a date.
Well.
It's just,
yeah.
you know. Yeah.
Yeah.
So... Say it for me one more time, Colin, because it just felt so good.
Baba Booey.
Yeah, there
oh,
it is.
Oh, yeah.
Now
yeah, that's so satisfying.
You earned it. You earned your free ticket.
Yes,
hey,
you
I'm
did.
Hey, I'm a Howard Stern fan,
yes, you
so
did.
I mean, hey, I've listened to that show, so I know.
Awesome. Very cool.
Well,
I grew up with Howard.
Night,
yeah, get ready to watch a terrible movie.
That's fantastic. I love a terrible movie.
Well, we're the place for that. That's for sure.
I think we have written about Cineprov before in Atlanta In Town, which I'm the editor of. And so I think I'm pretty sure we've written about you guys before. And yeah, so it's an interesting night at the cinema. So everyone, if other people listening out there, get a ticket and head over there, and it'll be fun.
Awesome. Thank you, Con. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
If you
okay.
want to write more about
all
us,
right.
we're happy to help.
Hey, I might do that. You might be getting a call. So
yeah, give me a shout. I'm always
okay.
here.
Okay, well,
we're the show
well,
that always says yes. So.
No, that's my favorite. Just like my dates, they always say yes. That's right. So, all right, guys. Well, have a good night.
Thanks, Baba Boo to y'all.
Nah, Baba Booing.
Hey. Baba Booty to you too, Colin. Thank you so much, sweetie. I'll see you Saturday night, I hope. All right, Colin Kelly. I love that man. All right.
Mission accomplished.
So, yes, indeed. And for everybody that gets all weirded out about I wanted something, I didn't get, I don't want to hear about it. Don't want to hear. Just don't want to. Hey, Larry Johnson, I have been so excited to have you on here, and this has been great. Look forward to Saturday night, and I'll have all of your social media, the website on all of my social media for Madame Perry Salon, everywhere on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, everywhere I've got something, I'll put it up on LinkedIn too, and
awesome.
More people. And I am just so, I love your story. I love the way it came together with being a fan and then meeting Joel. And then they just brought you into the fold like they just knew you were the long lost brother. They've been
exactly.
for whom they had been looking all these years, and just the perfect addition. And I just think this is great. And I am so looking forward to Saturday night.
Great. Thank you so much for
and
having me on. I really appreciate it.
Absolute pleasure. And if you have any parting words for anybody, now's the time to do it. And folks, just be, listen, we've all got enough to shake our heads and be mad and be sad about. Let's have a good time with the CenterProv guys, Larry Johnson. Right? What do you say, Larry?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, just come hang out with us and have a great night out and fun, judgment-free, good times. Everybody's cool. Everybody's fun. Everybody's drinking and having a good time watching silly movies. What a better way than to spend a Saturday night than that, you guys. We would love,
love
to have
it,
you.
I love it. And we're going to be swinging. I'm going to close out. Everybody's got to swing. Thank you so very much. Listening to Madame Perry Salon, I love you all. So go to CenterProv this weekend. Thank you. Bye-bye.